you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And again, I know I've said it several times, but thank you for being here. And it's always a blessing to have a nice looking crowd and all of you that are here looking sharp today. And I was thinking about doing a joke or something, but I don't have any, so I'm not going to start with that today. But I think this passage, there's something that the Lord spoke to me about before I even get into the message. In Luke chapter 17, I want all of you to take a look at this with me. Can you guys hear me okay? You guys hear? I can't really hear it. Yeah, it sounds kind of off. It might be my beard, the No Shave November. Luke chapter 17, let's all stand together, and we'll look just at a few verses. And my prayer has been that we would be here today and that we would look into His Word. My wife was asking me about this message, and that we would get something out of it, maybe that we never looked at. I don't know about you. A lot of times I'll read my Bible. I do this. And you kind of read over something. Glenn's over there, he's a Bible college student, you know. You read over something and you're not really paying attention what that word or what that's really saying. And I hope today, as we think about it, it's so practical. I tell my wife this all the time. You know, she's like, you always say that. But it's so practical, but it's always those practical things that we forget to do. And hopefully that's what will come out today. As you see there on the screens, our title today will be Increase Our Faith. And I think you'll see what that means here by the end of this message. Luke chapter 17, look at verse number 1. Then said he unto his disciples, we're talking about Jesus here, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto them through whom they come. It were better for him that millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea, than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Let's look up here for a second. This isn't my message. Remember, I don't have a joke this morning, all right? We won't take confession time right now, but people will offend you. People will wrong you. Things will happen, he is saying. And if it happens seven times in a day, what does Jesus tell us to do? Forgive. Not my message. You have been offended, most likely this week. Forgive. I joke around with our teenagers. Girls probably would understand this a little better. I think guys can. Guys, I'll just say this. Guys, because I played sports, you're out on the field, your enemy's on the field. I don't care if it's on the ice rink, I don't care if it's playing football, basketball. I mean, you're hitting each other, you're knocking each other, you're knocking each other's teeth out, you know, doing all that. And at the end of the game, what are we doing? Oh, dude, yeah, that was awesome. With that guy, you were just doing that. Girls? No. You know, I mean, it's a whole different ball game, man. We're going to hold on to it for like as long as I can. Right? I mean, but God says, hey, listen, these things will happen. Hey, just forgive each other. And I don't know who, I'm just throwing out the stones today, or I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know who's struggling today. I don't know who's been wronged or something has happened. God says, hey, listen, forgive. And I understand some of you are like, Brother Morris, but you have no idea. And I will tell you, I probably don't. But God's command still says, forgive. I told the teenagers this morning, I want to have that close relationship with Him. Let's talk about David for a second. Not my message, not even intro. But that relationship was not restored for a while because he had sinned with Bathsheba. You guys remember that? And until he repented, until he turned, until he had that right relationship with God is when that joy came back. I don't know about you. I want that joy. Do hard things happen? Yeah, but man, we see, I don't know about me, but we see you guys and you guys always have a happy face. Yeah, but things happen. I might send you a text back and I have the happy face with the tongue sticking out with the little wink, you know? You guys know what I'm talking about? You know, but a lot of times inside, I might not be feeling that way. But God says, hey, listen, just take care of that. hey, just forgive each other. Just trust me. Love me. Walk after me. Not my message, but man, that was awesome. Those are some important things I think all of us can apply that God says, hey, listen, you're going to go through these times. I just want you to forgive each other. And then I want you to look at what the Bible says in verse number 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, all this has happened. And look what they say, increase our faith. You know why maybe they're saying that? I have no idea how I'm going to do that. So they're saying, Lord, increase our faith. Help us. Man, and what a powerful illustration. Look at verse number 6. And the Lord said, if ye had what? If ye had faith. As what? A grain of mustard seed. Ye might say unto this sycamore tree, that's what he's saying, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. I don't know if that's powerful to you, but to me, that is just amazing. And I'm just going to take just a few moments today on this subject of increase our faith. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, many of us, if not all of us, Lord, are hurting today. Lord, we've had someone wrong us. Maybe something has happened even on the way to church today. And I pray, Lord, that as hard as that might be, Lord, that we would put that aside just for a moment and look at the apostles' words here where they say, Lord, increase our faith. I pray, Lord, when we leave here in just the next few moments, Lord, that our faith would be increased. I pray, Lord, that we would look at, this morning we have a lot of Bible, Lord, at Bible illustrations of how, on a practical way, we can increase our faith. Lord, I ask that you'd bless us and work in us in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you guys know this. A lot of times, normally I didn't do this, but sometimes I like to look something up and see what it is. I don't know. I asked my wife, I said, do you even know? I never knew this. I went to Bible college, never knew what this was. What is a mustard or a mustard seed tree? When I looked it up, that's how I said, mustard seed tree. Do any of you guys know? Mustard seed tree. That's what it looks like. And maybe all of you guys know this. I didn't know this, so I had to go into the pantry and go look at this. Give us the next one, Eric. There in the palm of his hand is a mustard seed, all right? I just want to illustrate what they're saying here. And it's in my hand. That's a mustard seed. It's there. Okay, look. You guys see that? Brother Dolan? A mustard seed. This is what's powerful to me. He says, if we had faith as a mustard seed. I don't know about you. It was like I got hit in the gut. I don't even have as much faith as that. And God says, hey, listen, if we would just have the faith as a mustard seed. What are some ways in which you and I can increase our faith? As I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about this literally I could do, and I'm not going to. I could do a series on every aspect of this. And some of you might be like, where in the world is he coming from? Or where is he going with this? But I think by the end of it, you'll realize in all these different areas of our lives, if we exemplify, if we partake in, if we do this, I think you will see your faith increase. And I want you to look at number one, and this is, you know, not your typical probably message, but number one, I want you to look at the aspect of salvation. Salvation. I gave you a lot of Bible. Honestly, this morning I'm going to do it more like a Bible study. So be ready to use your Bible. I know we have a lot of visitors, so I encourage you, church family, share with somebody, give your Bible, you guys share with somebody else, however. There's a lot of passages we're going to turn to because I want you to see. I don't want you to take it. This is what Brother Morris is saying. That is not my heart. I want you to look at your word. I want you to look at the Bible that's right in front of you. And what does God say about this aspect of increasing our faith? The aspect, first of all, of salvation. Look at your notes or on the screen, Proverbs 3, verse 5. The Bible says, trust in who? Let me stop there just for a second. So it's understood, he's telling us there, hey, don't trust who? Ourselves. Hey, don't trust your pocketbook or the lack thereof. Don't trust on whatever it's humanly natural to trust in. Hey, he says, trust in the Lord. Now, how does he tell us to do that? Look at it. With all thine heart. Hey, with everything that we have, he says, hey, I want you to trust me. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Hey, you might not understand it. You might not be able to figure it out. That's why it's called faith. I want you to trust me with that much faith. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Look at the next word. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What, or let me say it this way, who are you trusting in today? What are some ways that we have demonstrated our faith recently? Maybe in the past. Maybe in the present. I'm not going to give you my whole testimony because a lot of you have heard it, but let me just say this. I grew up in a religion that said I had to do X, Y, and Z so I could make it to heaven. That's how I was taught. Many of you, not nodding your heads, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's only two religions on the world. Those that we have to do something or it's been done. And praise the Lord, I'm a part of one. It's been done already. All I have to do is trust him. How? That faith as a mustard seed. How is my faith going to increase? How is my faith going to grow if I trust in him by faith? But how am I going to get all the other things? How am I going to trust him all the other areas? How? It all has to start somewhere, right? It all has to have a starting point. And what is that starting point? Salvation. Hey, are you on the team? Don't judge me. I should not be saying this in the Silicon Valley. I'm a Dodger fan. I got an amen. Wow, that was probably one, all right? Oh me is the rest of you, right? You know what? For me to be on the team, man, I played baseball. I love baseball. We had some kids in our youth group, they play baseball. And man, I was on the Dodgers. You know, I wanted to be, not that I wanted to look like, but man, maybe I look like now, Fernando Valenzuela, you know? You want to be like these guys, man. You see him out on there and you see, you know, my goal was I want to be on that mound. You know, one day, I'll never forget, I was able to step on. Man, I laid there. It was awesome. On Dodger Stadium. This was my dream. I'm not playing, but I'm here, you know. Man, it was awesome. I think it was fireworks or something. I got to go down. And man, it was awesome. To get on that team, we have to do something, right? You have to qualify. You have to play. You have to do all this stuff. Well, to be on their team, you have to do that. Yeah, but to be on God's team, how do I get on God's team? Being saved. There's a starting point. Hey, how's my faith going to grow? And we'll talk about it, okay? So stay with me. But how am I going to grow in this faith journey? How is that going to happen? It starts by faith in salvation. And let me put it right where you're at. Don't raise your hand. If you were to die today, do you know you're on your way to heaven? I'm not saying kind of, sort of, my mama told me, it's in my Bible. No, I'm asking you, do you know 100% sure you're on your way to heaven? Hey, listen, there was a time I didn't know that. And praise the Lord, someone took the Bible and showed me how I could know. And today, not proudly, but I can say I'm on my way to heaven. You know how I have demonstrated or grown in this aspect of faith? First of all, I had to trust in the object of my faith, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we think of, and I thought of this too, as you think, all I have to do is have faith as a mustard seed? That's all? Yeah. But more than that, of seeing all these, you know, sycamore tree being moved, is I need to trust in God, and he's going to help me in that. Salvation, trusting him. Don't just trust God, I love this, for salvation, and then leave him at home for the rest of your life. take them along life's journey and have them be a part every part of the way. Don't treat them like maybe we treat them like our extra Bible. You know what I'm talking about? Our extra Bible that's in the car or it's in your suit coat or it's in your locker for the kids at our school that you just kind of dust off. Oh, man, it's Sunday. You know, oh, I forgot my Bible. I'm going to go grab it. No, we need to take them along every aspect of our life. You know what? The main point, the main place we have to start is in the aspect of salvation. Well, what does that lead us to? It leads us not only from salvation, but also I want you to look at, because I have to stay with S's today, all right, is supplication, all right? Or what I mean by that is prayer, all right? So salvation, but not only that, I want you to look at this aspect of supplication or prayer. I want you to look at your notes, and I gave you scripture, and like I said, we'll be turning passages here, but I want you to look at Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by what? Prayer and fasting. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 29. And he said unto them, This kind came forth by nothing, but by what? Prayer and what? I asked the teenagers this today. Teenagers. When was the last time you and I prayed and fasted that we would see God intervene in the situation? Did you catch that? When was the last time I prayed and fasted, listen, for someone else? You don't understand. I like to eat. Are you there with me? You're telling me, don't eat? Yeah. I told the kids, this isn't for bragging. I've been asking God to work in my life. This past week, I fasted 2 straight meals in a row. It about killed me. They're probably looking at me in my office. He's shriveling up. No, not really, all right? I could last a long time, all right? 40 times, never mind, all right? None of your business. I mean, I could probably fast for a long time if I had to. But you know what? Why was I doing that? I was trying to get a hold of God. If you want God to work, if you're serious about this, folks, I challenge you, pray and fast. Now, the answer might not be the answer that you want. But you know what? If we're serious about it, he says, a lot of things don't happen but by prayer and fasting. There have been times in my life when I really needed to get a hold of God. And the Bible tells me this kind came not forth but by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I don't get it, folks. I don't understand it fully. But my earnestness and my sincerity is that moment that gets a hold of the throne of God. And then he lends an ear. What do I mean? I get his attention. I'm going to be biased here, and I don't care what you think about your kids. I believe, the cutest kids. My little one, Reagan, is the cutest kid. I'll be holding Reagan, and she's like an appendage, it seems like. And moms, you know what I'm talking about. It felt like this yesterday. We had the teenagers over, the juniors and seniors, and we had a barbecue. Hey, man, it was awesome, man. And we watched a movie and just chilled out in my living room. It was awesome. And I realized after a moment, I have Reagan on my shoulder, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And you know what? I forget that I'm holding her. Have you been there? You're just doing whatever you're doing, and you're just holding her. And this is what's awesome, guys. I'll be holding Reagan, and she realizes Dad is focused on everything else but me. You guys feel me? And this is what's awesome. Reagan will do one of these. And what is she doing? Pay attention. Hey, I want you to focus on me. And this is what I'm trying to get, folks. We are so caught up with offenses and trials or burdens, and they're all real. And God says, I'm right here.
Why haven't you come to me? I died for you. I gave my son for you. Hey, I'm here, guys. He wants our attention. When was the last time, folks, we gave him our attention? He wants your attention. And if I had to be honest, you want his attention. Hey, he's there. Are we coming to him? Are we looking at him? Are we having that aspect of prayer, that supplication? Have we prayed? Have we fasted? And I'm not on the subject of fasting this morning, but I'm just asking you. God is there. He wants to talk to us. He wants to spend that time with us. And as I think of my little one, as I was thinking about this point, he's there waiting. And all we have to do is engage in that. I want to get God's attention, and I know you do. So that's an aspect of how we can grow in our faith. How do I grow? In those times when I'm looking at everything else, when everything else is pulling or vying for my attention, I stop for a moment and realize, hey, God, I need you. I told the teenagers, why God allows things, why God allows us to go through those circumstances, and I've told you this before, is so it causes us to, only option I have is to look up and say, okay, God, but why do we wait for that moment? Why do we wait till all those things are all, we're drowning in these situations where God says, hey, I just want you to focus on me. God wants us to come to him. We look at this aspect of supplication, salvation, supplication. Look at the next one. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. In John chapter 5, there in your notes, verse 39 says, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Acts 17:11. These were more, what's that next word? Okay, I hope you guys get this today. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and did what? And searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Have you ever read, I was talking about this earlier where Glenn was just nodding his head. It's true. Sometimes you're reading and you're not really paying attention. He says there, what does he mean by that aspect of noble? What was God using in the lives of these Bereans? Why are these Bereans said to be more noble than those in Thessalonica? Well, I'm glad you asked that. I'll throw it up there on the screen, Eric. I think I gave you. The word noble means great, elevated, dignified, being above everything that can dishonor reputation, as a noble mind, a noble courage, noble deeds of valor. Now, I want you to catch this. God is saying this of the Bereans, they are more noble. Get this. God elevated these people because they did what? They searched the scriptures. How did their faith grow? How did their faith increase? They searched the scriptures. I cannot be encouraged or increase in my faith if I don't know what the Bible says about a certain situation or topic. Is that fair to say? How can I be encouraged? How can I be uplifted if I don't know what the Bible says? This past week, I asked the Lord, whenever I have an opportunity to preach, God, can you give me a real life scenario, a real life story, if I could say it that way, to illustrate? Well, God, one of our men in our church lost his Bible at church. And he texts me. I mean, if you could just, I guess, take the heart out of that text I was getting, this guy was just bothered. I'm talking about, you could tell he felt terrible that he lost his Bible. Someone in our church. Oh, man, I was trying to encourage him. I'm like, who knows, man? Our church, some teenager probably took it. You know, no, I'm just joking. You know, who knows, all right? And I was just like, man, dude, we're going to find it. We're all right, all right? I have no idea, man. I'm just being a good guy, you know, good friend. We're going to find it. I have no idea. It's not like I knew where it was. And, man, I just, hey, we're going to, you know what was awesome? I sent a text, first thing tomorrow, I'm going to go ahead and ask everybody, and we're going to look for it. I sent out a text or an email to all the staff, and, man, just within seconds, hey, it's in so-and-so's box. I'm like, what? We went through, oh man, don't worry, brother, have faith. You know, it's sitting in one of our staff members' box, you know. But what did we exercise? Faith. You know what was convicting to me? Let me just be real transparent. A pastor, it bothered him. He couldn't find his Bible. When's the last time I felt like that? We can't find it. Hey, kids, can you check under? You know what I'm talking about? You find that waffle that, when's the last time we ate waffles? You know, you find all these things. Hey, oh, there it is. There's the Bible. You know what I'm talking about? Man, he was so hurt that he couldn't find his Bible. You know what God says? Hey, search the scriptures. Hey, these Bereans, they're known to be noble. Why? Because they're looking at scripture. Hey, their faith is growing. It's increasing. Why? Because they're searching the scriptures. Let me just put it right where we're at, folks. Did you spend time with him today? Brother Morris, it's Sunday. It's still the Lord's day. Did we spend time with him this week? Hey, have we got his attention? Salvation, supplication, search the scriptures. Here's one. Services. Services, let me just say it. Go to church. Go to church. Now you ask, why should I go to church? Why should I attend services? Here you go. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly, all right? And this part we added, so you understand, the church of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. Look right up here. God is saying, hey, there's times coming. Hey, that clock is going to stop. I'm going to come get my children. Hey, go to church. Assemble together. Get together. Why? Why should we come to church? Here we go. Letter A, for preaching. Amen? For preaching. Why? 1 Corinthians. Actually, go there. I want to show you guys something. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. All right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. You guys there? All right, look at this. For the what? Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching to save them that believe. God orchestrated or planned out this aspect of preaching. Pastor or myself one day weren't in a staff meeting or a brainstorm and said, oh, we're going to have preaching. No, this is God. This is God's plan. So if I want to be strengthened, encouraged, challenged, equipped, convicted, charged, prodded, you name it. I sit under the Word of God, allowing the man of God to deliver the Word of God in such a way that God speaks to my heart and then God does a supernatural work. Like I said, this is not my plan. This is God's. Did we get that? I don't come to church or I don't not come to church because pastor's not there. I come to church because God says so. Why do we have preaching? God's plan. It doesn't make sense. He says it. It seems foolish, right? But that's what God said. Hey, this is what I want. Because I want to help you. And not only that, here's one. For fellowship. For fellowship. Go back just a few chapters. Go to Acts chapter 2. Remember, I told you this morning, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Acts chapter 2. Not only in the aspect of preaching, but also in the aspect of fellowship. Go to Acts chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse 41. I think this is part of what we have here above the baptism here, all right? So look at it, verse 41. Then who? They, all right? Someone tell me, who's they? The church, the believers, all right? So we understand. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So the people that were there assembled, those people that were there that heard the preaching, hey, they got together and they were baptized, and some in the same day they were added unto them. Man, this, you're talking about a membership. They were added unto them, the church, over 3,000 souls. You're talking about getting a quick staff, all right? 3,000 people. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in what? Fellowship. And in what? Now you know why we eat a lot around here, all right? And in what? All right, you're seeing it all there. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, right? In one place, as a church, and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. I'm not telling you to go do that, okay? I'm just telling you what happened here. And then look. And they continued daily in what? With one accord. Not Honda, all right? They were all together. You'll get that later. In the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord added to the what? Church daily as should be saved. Hey, it's in the Bible. Is church a big deal? Preaching. Fellowship. I could have said a lot of other stuff. I'm going to stop there. But it's a big deal to God. Why should we come? God, it's kind of like I said on Wednesday night, it's almost like that reset button where God says, hey, listen, man, you've been around all that junk. You guys know what I'm talking about? Man, you're out. I mean, this happens, especially for us that grew up in Lancaster, went to college there. You could get a shower. You could felt great. You step outside. Man, that dust storm, all the dirt, you know what I'm talking about? And you're just like, ugh, I need to get another shower, you know? And you know what? We're in the world, and you feel all that dirt, all that grime, all that. And man, isn't it awesome? I hope to come to church and just be refreshed, just to be greeted by that person that always just has that smile, just has that encouragement. Hey, I'm praying for you. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, really pray for you. You know what I'm talking about? That's what the church ought to be like. Salvation, supplication. Search the scriptures, service, go to church. Here's one, stewardship. Stewardship. I was going to take you to a passage, and I'm not going to go there. So just look at Luke chapter 6, all right? Luke chapter 6, I think it's in your notes. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosoms. For with this, now I want you to catch this. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Did you catch that? For with the same measure, okay, this is how I translate it. This is saying, in the measure that we show our faith, we will receive in that manner, right? Well, look at Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. We are to honor him with all that we have. So let me ask you, what has God given you to steward? A spouse? A child? Children? A job? A house? A car or cars? Money? Ministry? Hey, you name it. What has God given to you? We all have different things, and God is the one that gave it to us. I want you to listen to this. How have we shown or given to the Lord? We show by giving ourselves to others. Don't be so concerned, folks, of what you don't have that you forget what you have. Right? We're running around doing all this stuff and we forget that precious gift or those things that the Lord has given to us, and we think about, well, if I only had such and such, no, praise the Lord you don't have that. Because you probably wouldn't be here. And God says, hey, listen, what has God given to you, and steward those things? One of the most beautiful stewardships that God has given to me is my family. God has given me the opportunity to have a wife, to have girls, pray for me. But you know what? That's precious. And any other thing that could be vying for my attention, every other thing that wants to pull at me, listen, I got to focus on what God has given to me. Let me ask you, yours might not be my family, and it's not. But what has God given to you? What stewardship has God given you, and do we take that seriously? How am I stewarding this great responsibility that I have? How are you stewarding what God has given to you each and every day? Hey, listen, every one of you, child, teenager, adult, senior saint, God has given you a stewardship. And how are we doing in that? In those things, God is growing and increasing that faith. Man, you're seeing God working in their lives. And I want to get ahead of myself in this message because I have another one tonight. I want to give you awesome blessings. But God is just doing that. Man, God just increases that faith. He's building. He's kind of, you know, when you, we don't do it anymore because we have microwaves, but you know when you put your, you would put some water and you'd put the kettle there and you would heat it up and it's boiling. Man, that's just, God's just doing that work and he's heating that up and he's increasing that faith in me. Listen, are we allowing God to do that? Salvation, supplication, searching the scripture, service, stewardship. Here's one. Sound the word. Sound the word. Go to Romans chapter 10. Go over to the right. Go to Romans chapter 10. I'm almost done. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I want you to look at verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Isn't that awesome? Hey, it doesn't matter who you are. Hey, God still wants to reach out to us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is where God just, I'll be honest with you, in recent days, this is like God has just grabbed my heart, if I could just put it that way, and has just been doing a work in this part. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God has probably not called you to be a pastor, but God has called you to be a light in this world. There's someone in that cubicle. There's a neighbor. There's a loved one. There's someone at your school. There's someone on your ball team. There's someone in that college class that is hurting, that needs someone to proclaim his word. Will you be that light? I'm so encouraged. Nothing that I have done. I'm so encouraged by our young people. Austin gave a testimony a few weeks back. At work, a girl was asking about the Lord. And Austin, after work was done, if I remember the story, and they started shutting down, he was able, for the first time, give it to somebody else, and the young lady got saved. He's that light. He's sounding the word. One of our young ladies, Bethany was talking about at work. She works at Oshkosh Bigosh, something like that. And someone did the same. And asking her about, there's a difference in her. Just being able to proclaim that. Hey, listen, folks, when was the last time that we proclaimed or gave or illustrated or showed what God has done? Wouldn't it be terrible if I just hoarded that and just kept that and didn't tell anybody? I so want to show you this picture, and I could not find it. I'm searching for it, and hopefully I'll find it. I had an opportunity in April of 2013 to go to Africa. And while I was in Africa, what burdened me was, there's this huge sign, and I'm standing there by it, and it's a Coca-Cola sign. And now, I mean, out in the bush, in the middle of nowhere, Coca-Cola has given out their message. They know about it. But in searching for this picture, I found a video. I'll never forget. I'll show you the video, and then at the end, leave it there, Eric, and then I'm going to explain something, all right, Eric? And there's sound to it, okay? Oh, yeah, every one of those kids is dying of something. Malaria, hepatitis, typhoid, the biggest one, AIDS. You know why we were there? Giving the gospel. I'm not asking you to go to Africa. I'm not even asking you to go to another city. Where has God taken you to be that light? Listen, folks, every one of us, people are watching us. Are you giving them the good news? Brother Morris, I don't understand. I don't get it. What has God done in your heart? It would be terrible if I kept that to myself and did not give that to somebody. God says, hey, I want you to give that. I encourage you to be a part, if you can, tomorrow, Ministry Monday night. I encourage you to come out, teens, on Wednesday, teen outreach. Maybe you want to join us on Saturdays as we come out to our church outreach. We have opportunities, our SMBC cares. We're working on an awesome project. I cannot wait to announce it, hopefully for this holiday season as we get ready for Christmas, on an SMBC project or cares program. Listen, folks, we can be a light. God can use us. God wants us to do something. Why am I showing you this? Why? Because God wants us to, He wants to increase our faith. And we got to allow these certain situations, these things in our lives that we got to stop looking at as distractions and start looking at as God wants to use this as a blessing. Salvation, supplication, search the scriptures, services, stewardship. Last one, serve. Serve. Listen, this is not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Put our words into action. What do I mean? By shoe leather. Serve the Lord with gladness, the Bible says. Come before His presence with singing. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Did you catch that? He's saying, hey, listen, you have an option. You have a decision to make. Who will you serve? Whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that your testimony? And look what Ephesians says, and this is so important. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God, what? From the heart. Look right up here. Every one of us need this. Hey, I'm not doing it, what I'm doing, for somebody else. I'm not doing it for pastor. I'm not doing it for my youth pastor. I'm not doing it for my mama. You understand? Because a lot of times, if we're honest, we're doing things so someone can see me or I'm supposed to do this. God says, hey, listen, get your focus off of that and your focus back on me is about serving me. Do you want your faith to grow? Do you want to see God do a work? Hey, focus on me. Isn't that better anyway? Remember at the beginning when we're getting to this point, man, people are mistreating people and things are going on. He says, hey, get your focus off of that. And just focus on me. Who are you serving, folks? What are you serving? I believe the measure in which we serve God is probably a direct reflection of how we serve people. What could God do in and through us if we would just have faith as a mustard seed? Do we have this kind of faith? I'll tell you, folks, a lot of times I don't. Because I would see some unbelievable things happen if I would have just that much faith. Go and throw on the screen there, Eric. D.L. Moody said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to Him. By God's help, I aim to be that man. Listen, folks, man or woman, young or old, do you aim to be that person? God, I just want you to use me. God, I want you to do a work. Are you willing to be that person? God says, hey, you want to increase your faith? Here are just some ways. When you're doing these things, when I'm serving Him, when I'm loving people, when I'm proclaiming, I'm seeing God just do the work. And I can see hey, this isn't Morris. I'm not manipulating something. This is God doing a work. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen God do a work in your life? Maybe it's been a while. Hey, let's get back to that place where we're like, God, I just want you to do a work because you're doing it. Listen, guys, I'm great at manipulating things and making things work out how I want it. It's not about that. It's me putting that aside and say, God, hey, I just trust you. Hey, I just love you. Hey, I just want to be close to you. And you know what? I'm on for the ride. I'm on for the journey. God, just lead me. And you know what's awesome? I'll be able to look back, and Randy, I'll be able to say, man, how awesome I've seen God just work in this and work in this or work in this person's life. I want to encourage you, be back tonight. It'll be almost like a part two, all right? We'll go into. It'll be the blessings in serving God. Do you want the blessing? I want the blessing. How is that going to happen? By allowing him to increase our faith. All heads bowed, eyes closed. All heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, thank you for the Bible.